Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm so glad to be able to share another broadcast with you this morning. I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Wednesday morning. I had to wait a little while this morning because it was really raining hard, but the lake is nice and calm. There's nobody out here yet on the lake except myself that I can see anybody on the water anywhere, but I'm glad to be coming your way once again. You tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or 100.3 FM over in the lower area, and you tuned me in at 8 o'clock. And I need to give a thank you this morning because WION, they sponsored a program in August, a special show. It was called The Road Trip, and WION was able to raise was able to raise $400 for a food pantry or Feeding America, and they decided to give that to Shiloh Community Church. And I need to tell you, they raised $400. On behalf of Shiloh Community Church, I want to thank each and every one of you that was a part of that road trip fundraiser. And this will help a lot of people in our area because we can, through the Feeding America, we get a good price on food. And so I'm just so thankful and grateful that you were a part of that, and we appreciate the love gift so much. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM, at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both the Ionia station and the Greenville station by the way of the web, and that's something that is very special, and I thank the Lord for that. You tune me and others by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are watching by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. When it opens up, see Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over Messages from the Lighthouse, and Current Media will show up. And when you click on Current Media, the top message is the message for this morning. So whatever way you joined me, I'm just so glad to have you be a part of the broadcast time together today. I do need to say thank you to those that help us with the financial cost of broadcasting. So first of all, to Bill and Judy Hammond, they live in the Belden area, thank you. To Doug and Lorraine Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you. To Gloria Spencer, in memory not of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and Gloria, I thank you as well. And to Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years and have been attending there ever since I've been retired, which I was surprised to figure that out the other day. It's been 12 years that I've not been the pastor at Shiloh Community Church, so that's pretty special. Our weekend of worship at Shiloh begins Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And we're looking for a new senior pastor, and we've got a candidate. So we're looking forward to maybe hearing him pretty soon, and we'll be getting decide if he's the one that is for us a while or not. And that'll be something very special to get back to having our senior pastor. In our Greenville campus is at the old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and Luray Street. Pastor Paul takes care of that service for us, and that's Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I want to say a big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting our music for this morning. I appreciate all that she does to help me with the broadcast time together. Our message for this morning is, do not hide your light. I've been spending all this month on the idea of light because there's so much darkness in our world. It's really dark politically, it's really dark socially, it's really dark financially. Places have been closing and those kind of things. Really dark for families going through some difficult times during this period of time. And that's why I chose this talk about light. But here what I want to do today is realize that we're not supposed to hide our light. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But to get us ready for the message for this morning, It says, "Wait for the light to shine." This song takes right off as soon as I push the button, I hope. And then it's going to tell us, wait for the light to shine. That light's going to shine one of these days on you and whatever you're going through in a very special way, because that light comes from God. Here we go. Hang on.
When the road is rocky and you're carrying a load,
wait for the light to shine.
If you find your friendless on that weary, lonesome road,
wait for the light to shine. Wait for the light to shine. Wait for the light to shine.
Pull yourself together, keep on looking for the sign.
Wait for the light to shine.
Don't forget your brother as you travel through the land.
Wait for the light to shine.
Well, there's some good advice in that. Wait for the light to shine. Going through some difficulty, going through some troubled times. We all are going through those kinds of times. We realize there's a lot of difficulty we're faced with today. And it has been added to because of COVID-19. And as we come together this morning once again, we realize, man, the summer's gone fast. This is the last Sunday of August. Next time I share with you, I'll be sharing the month of September. Schools, a lot of them got started. We just praying for that all along, and we need to be praying for that. That's so hard for those of you that's got students in school to know exactly which way to go and what to do. So I want to pray for the listening audience once again this morning. I want to ask the Lord to just bless you in a very special way. Father, the school systems have got started, so a lot of them have already. And Father, this is a very difficult year. It causes a whole lot of confusion for both students and teachers, and for moms and dads, and even grandpa and grandmas that's concerned about their little people going to school during a very difficult time. So, Father, we come to you this morning on behalf of the listening audience. I want to pray for whatever they're concerned with this morning. Each person that can hear my voice, I pray, dear Father, that you would minister to them in a very special way. Whatever it is the need, those I want especially thinking of this morning, those who have students in school and making a decision about that, I pray that you give them wisdom from above. I pray that you will lead and direct them in so many ways. There's so many things that we just don't know exactly what to do about. So we're waiting for the light to shine. We want that light to shine from heaven upon us and give us some sense of wisdom and some sense of direction. And dear Father, as I come to you on behalf of the listening audience, just recently I started praying for those who have an unspoken request. So there's somebody in the audience today that you have an unspoken request. You don't need to raise your hand, but if you just focus on that unspoken request for just a few moments, I would like to pray for that unspoken request. So, Father, whatever it is that somebody's having a difficult time with today, and we're focusing in on it as an unspoken request, I don't need to know what it is, Father. You know. They know. And, Father, I pray that you would meet them at the point of their need. Would you cause us to realize, Father, that you care for each one of us? And you've told us we can unload all of our concerns and all of our cares and all of our anxiety. You've told us we can unload that upon you because you care for us. I pray that would be the first answer of prayer that would be for that unspoken request this morning, is that you care for what they're going through. Now, Father, would you come and honor your word as we talk about not hiding our light, but letting it shine so others can see in this difficult time? And, Father, the darker it gets in the world, the need is greater for each and every light to shine. So I pray you would speak to our hearts this morning in a special way. And I thank you in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, don't hide your light. I love the way the simplicity of Jesus' teaching was when he was here. You know, one of the reasons I think that his teachings were so simple was that he was out to reach the heart, not the head. And he knew that when he reaches the heart, then you can get a hold of the life. For our way of studying this morning, I want to go back to a sermon that Jesus preached. He wasn't in some big cathedral. He wasn't even in a synagogue in the city. He's on the mountainside. And people had gathered together and they were sitting on rocks and sitting on some green grass, maybe next to the mountain. And Jesus delivered this message. And the message that Jesus delivered to them, I believe we need it now during COVID-19 in year 2020. It's given to us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus had already declared that he was the light of the world. But then this is what he says to us. You are the light for the world. You are the light for the world. A city cannot be hid when it is located on a hill. No, neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a basket. Instead, everyone who lights a lamp puts it under a lamp on a lampstand. Then it shines lights on everyone in the house. Now listen to this, he says. This is the simplicity of Jesus' teaching. In the same way, let your light shine in front of people. Then they will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. God is saying one of the sources that he has in reaching into the lives of other people who are living in darkness is to use you and I as a light. You know, we're really the reflection of Jesus. That light has shined in your life and my life, and then he wants that light to shine through us to others. And you know, we've all seen that. When we travel to Florida, we've seen it. Once I went out west, and man, I seen the sky was a different color because there's a big city ahead of us. It took us hours to get there, but you could still see all the light of that city at night showed up in the sky. You know, a city on a hill cannot be hid. And he tells us when people light a lamp, you know, those lamps were those oil lamps in those days. And they'd light a lamp, he said, they'd have to put it on a stand. And then it would light the whole room up. They don't light a lamp and just put it under a basket. That basket would hinder the light from shining on everyone in the room. God wants that light to shine on. In the same way, he wants you and I to shine our light in a world that needs the light so much. This message is not to hide our light, but let our light shine. I love the idea of a city on a hill. I love the idea of Jesus has reminded us he is the light. He has shined on us. And for us to hide that light under a basket or put it instead of putting it on a lampstand would be a very wrong thing to do. I love the word in the same way. Let your light shine. You know what he's saying when he said, let your light shine? It's just allow your light to do what it can do. Each one of us are a light to people within the darknesses. And each one of us have our own way of shining our light. And God is saying, just allow it to do it. Jesus spoke of this in a similar way of the turmoil that the disciples were going through in their lives. He spoke to them as he does to us today in with some encouraging words. I have told you these things, Jesus said in John 16, so that in me you will have peace. Now listen to what he says way back then, and he means it today. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus said unto them in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I think God is saying, you know what? Just let your light shine. Just allow it to do whatever it can do. Allow it to put the light on the lives of other individuals. Now, he's not telling us about the brightness of that light. He's not telling us about the idea of how many kilowatts it is, so to speak. He's saying every light is important. I like some sayings that there is, you know, doesn't make your light shine any brighter by blowing somebody else's light out. We need all the light we can get today in this world. And we need that light that comes from Jesus himself, the written word, the living word of God, and then from the written word of God. That's what my emphasis has been on this time, that we realize that Jesus is the light of the world because he's the living word of God. When Jesus spoke, it was God speaking. And then you got the Bible, the written word of God. And he wants us to know that that's pretty important to allow our light to shine. And you know what? I believe God is wanting that light to give is some hope. Some hope. We need hope. A little light in our dark tunnel. Just that things are getting a little better. You know, I'm hoping to see the doctor on Wednesday this coming week. I've had a long, hard time getting an appointment, but finally we got an appointment. And I'm hoping to see the doctor and find out what's going on with my throat and with my voice. I coughed long before COVID was even thought of. I had a sore throat and I coughed, and one time it hurt. And ever since then, my voice hasn't been doing exactly the way it was able to do before. So I'm going to have it checked and see what's going on. But you know something? The reason I'm doing that is because of the idea of hope, that maybe there's something we can do to make it better. Maybe there's something we can do to make it not be sore. And that's what we need to do. I love it in the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through the 5. He's talking about you and I as we become a Christian and we believed in the Lord Jesus and we have received the forgiveness of sin. Therefore, he says, since we have been justified by faith, we have this peace that Jesus was talking about. We have the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just pause for a moment. You know, you need to have peace, first of all, with God. You can't be at war with God and expect to have the peace of God. But you make peace, you fly the white flag of truth. God, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And then you receive peace with God. And then when you have the peace with God, you'll find that it gives peace within your heart. It's the peace of God. Through him, we have all obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's where our hope is. He said, we'll rejoice in the hope that God knows what's going on and he's going to do something about it. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering. I don't know if all of us are there yet. I know sure I'm not there. But I do like what he promises about suffering, the things you're going through. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us ashamed, because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit, who has given us, who was given to us. We need to realize he's saying, you know what? The difficulties you go through in your life, the suffering you go through in your life, it's productive. If you allow it to be productive, sometimes we don't really realize that it's got a purpose. And so we instead kind of find fault with God or find fault with others. But let me just share this with you. Because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As one who believes in Jesus, as we go through the difficult times in our life, such as COVID-19, God's word teaches us that there's a process. There's a process we're going through. And we can't have the end result without having the process. Have you noticed that? There's so many things in life that we have to go through the process to get the thing that was in the purpose of it all. So listen to what he says. This is the process. Step by step, this produces hope. The process is suffering, brings about endurance. You can handle more pain than you realize. You can handle more difficulty than you realize. And then along with that, endurance, it builds our character. It makes us into the person that we're going to be. We don't become the person we're going to be or God wants us to be if everything is handed to us. We don't go through any difficulty. And he said that character is what produces hope. I love the illustration that was given to the nation of Israel. They were going through a terrible time of suffering. And they had gone through it a whole long time. And I think just like COVID, they were tired of it. In the little book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 12, return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Oh, I love that. God's the stronghold, and you're a prisoner of hope. Hope makes us go beyond what we can stand to do. I don't mind being a prisoner of hope. I like to share the idea of hope. I declare I will restore you double. I see the call is to return to your stronghold and to return to the fact that God says you're a prisoner of hope, and that hope's going to make a difference in your life. I can remember times when we was really having difficult times financially in our lives, when you're trying to raise a family and everything costs so much. And I can remember saying, we just got to have a little hope. It's going to get a little better. It's going to get a little better. Difficulties in sickness, got to have some hope. You wouldn't go through a surgery, and neither would I, if there was no hope of things being a little better. The people that are going through chemo and radiation right now, they're going through it because there's a hope that maybe it's going to help a little bit. And we need that. Hope is trusting in God and what he's able to do. That's why he says we need to let our light of hope shine. There's a lot of hopelessness in our world. And we as believers in Christ, those that claim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, we can't hide our light of hope. We got to shine that light of hope. Give that light out and become a prisoner of hope. And even though everybody else is looking down and saying it isn't going to get any better, or this is going to be the way it is going to be, shine some light of hope. I love the warning Jesus gave in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Be careful not to do your good works in public in order to attract attention. Pharisees did that a lot. If you do, your Father in heaven will not reward you. So when you give to the poor, don't announce it with all the trumpet fanfare. When you give to the poor, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, I don't know how that works, you know. He says, just keep it between you and the Lord. Give your contribution privately. Now, listen to what he says. Your Father sees what you do in private. He will reward you. And we need to remind ourselves, because we are a prisoner of hope. God wants to take the hope that is in your life and the hope that is in my life. And he wants us to shine that light. I love a verse in 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give a reason for your hope. Why do you have hope? I've seen God bring me through some stuff in the past. And what he's done in the past, he can do in the future. I've seen what God's done for others in the Bible. There's whole many people in the Bible that I have the privilege of studying their life and see how God brought about hope and what a difference it made in their life as an individual. So he's saying, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it for a purpose. As they see your hope, perhaps that will cause them to realize they need some fellowship with God. What's producing this hope in your life isn't who you are. It's because of what God has done for us. I want to tell you this story from the book of Genesis, and then we'll listen to a song. But you know, I love it that God had created Adam and Eve, our first parents. They were in a perfect environment, a beautiful garden. They had something to do, a job, so to speak, of tending the garden. They had each other. They had a wonderful fellowship with God, the Creator. He'd come and visit with them. And there only was one requirement. There's one tree that God says, I don't want you to partake of anything from that tree. I don't even want you to touch it. That's recorded in the book of Genesis. Then there was a snake. He was very clever of all the wild animals Lord God had made. He asked the woman, did God really say you must never eat the fruit of that tree in the garden? The woman answered the snake, we're allowed to eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, except the tree in the middle of the garden. God said we should never eat of it or touch it. If you do, you will die. And then this serpent, who is really Satan, says, you surely won't die. The snake said to the woman, God knows that when you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree had fruit, that it was good to eat and nice to look at, and desired to make someone wise. She took some of the fruit and she ate it. And she gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate it. Their eyes were open, and they were both realized that they were naked. They sewed some fig leaves together to make clothes for themselves. And in the cool of the evening, oh, folks, this is going to happen in your life when you turn from God. In the cool of the evening, God come walking in the garden. And Adam and Eve hid from God. They had had sweet fellowship with him, but now they're hiding from God. The Lord called to Adam and asked him, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam? He answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. God asked him, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree I commanded you not to eat from? The man answered, the woman, the one you gave me, she gave me some fruit of the tree and I ate it. What I want us to think about, if you don't want to shed the thing of hope and share the thing of hope, you don't want to have hope coming from your life, you know what the opposite of that is? I believe we blame others for everything that's going on. And I'm telling you right now, 2020, we're living in the blame game. Everybody's blaming. I tell you, I'm already tired of the political talk because it's one blaming the other. And that's exactly what Adam did. That was the first time that it ever happened. It's been carried on ever since Adam and Eve. The first consequence of Adam and Eve's decision to reject God's revelation was a change in their relationship with God. They hid from him. Before they was willing to have fellowship with him, before sin had expired, experienced it, they had a close relationship with God. Their communication was open, and they lived in the presence of God, and they had nothing to hide. But after the sin of disobedience, they hid from God. Their close relationship was broken. The second thing that they did was the human race started what is called, what I call, a blame game. He blamed his wife, but he really was blaming God too when he said, you know, I did that. She's the one, the woman you gave me, she's the one that caused that to happen. You know, there's a verse in the book of Isaiah that says, your sin has separated you from God. And God, who cannot look at sin, can't allow himself to have that close fellowship with you. We need the Lord Jesus. I got a song. The song is talking about, you may be the only Jesus that people should see. You see, you and I are to reflect the person of the Lord Jesus. We're to reflect who he is and what he's done in our lives. And you know, you need to shine in the way you can. Shine that light of hope. Shine that light of fellowship. That because you're the only Jesus, some people must see Jesus shining through your life. God bless you as we listen.
If not in you, I wonder where will they ever see one who really cares? If not from you, how will they find? There's one who heals the broken heart and gives sight to the blind. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And if not you, I wonder who will show them love, and love alone can make things new. If not from you, how will they learn? There's one who traded their hopelessness for joy in return. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. 'Cause you're the only Jesus will ever see. So let him shine, let him show, let them see him in you. You gotta let them know, 'cause you're
Calvary. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. 'Cause you're the only Jesus. You're the only Jesus.
Well, we realize that that puts a lot of pressure on us, we feel. If I'm the only Jesus, some may see. That's scary to me. But you know what God's saying to us today? Don't let that be scary to you. It's all he's asking us to do is let the light shine through us. And he's telling us we can do that by the good works that we do. The things we do that help one another. The things we do that is an encouragement to one another. The things that we do that others can see some reason of hope. And he wants us to know what he does in you and I as a human. He can use that to show that he can do that in other humans as well. There's a story given in the book of Job about a city. And you know, when I found this story about this city, I thought, man, that was written. Job's life is thousands of years ago. Jesus had been here 2,000 years ago. This is many, many thousands of years ago. Job says this: from out of the city the dying groan, the souls of the wounded cry out for help. Let God change the one that no one with wrong, and that God charges no one with wrong. There are those who rebel against the light, those who are acquainted with its ways and do not stay in its path. The murderer rises before his light, and he may kill the poor and the needy in the night. He's like a thief. The eye of an adulterer also waits for twilight, saying, no eye will see me, and veils his face in the darkness. In the darkness they dig through houses and steal things by day. They shut themselves up and they do not know the light. For deep darkness is mourning on all of them. For they are friends with the terror of deep darkness. That's Job. It sounds like the cities of art, the cities of 2020. All the difficulties going on. And God said one day to a man by the name of Jonah, he said, there's a wicked city in Nineveh. It's just like the city that Job had described. All the evil that's going on within that city. I want to do something about it. Jonah, I want you to go there and I want you to be a light to them. Listen to what he says. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of the Ammonite, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. But Jonah arose and to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went aboard to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. You see, God is saying, the city of Nineveh, I want you to know its wickedness is there. And Jonah, you're the light I want to send. But Jonah ran away. Jonah went from the presence of God. He's going to go hide from God. He's hiding them. He's hiding his light. God says, you're a light, and he's going to go hide it. Not only that, he's hiding not only from God, but he's hiding from what could have happened to this city of Nineveh, what did happen. The city of Nineveh, without a doubt, is like the city Job spoke about. Its wickedness had come before the Lord. And God just simply said to Jonah, I've got the message I want you to deliver. You better have a change in what you're doing, or in 40 days you'll be destroyed. Change your method of living. Change what you controls yourself. But Jonah ran away, and in so doing, he was hiding his life. You know what? I'm not going to go into the whole story of Jonah because I'm going to speak about that one in the weeks in September. But I want us to think about the fact that Jonah ran away from God. Ran away and turned his back on God. And he walked away from God. I like the illustration there is in the book of Psalm one time. When this psalm says this, even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who had have, we had had bread together. Now listen to what it says. This is an illustration that we need to have in our minds and heart. He's lifted up his heel to me. He's lifted up his heel. You know what God's saying? When you turn and walk away from God, when you turn and walk away from being the light that God wants you to be, you lift up your heel as you turn your back on God. Just think about it. You can just see it for yourself. You can feel it for yourself. As you turn and walk away from your responsibility, you're lifting up your heel. God is saying, don't do that. Don't hide your light. Don't turn from me. Instead, go and do the things I've asked you to do. Let your light shine. Let it be for the things of God. Now, I do realize, dear people, when you and I shine our light in the darkness of the world doesn't like light. The world wants darkness. It was told about Jesus coming into this world, that when he said he was coming into this world, he was the light of the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. So they wouldn't come to Jesus. One day Jesus was getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and he kind of wanted to stay in the city of Samaria. But the Samaritans didn't really want him to stay there because he was going to Jerusalem. There was so much friction between those people of Samaria and the people of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when his time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfast set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent some messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered the village of Samaria to prepare for him. It's just going to have a place for him to stay. But the Samaritan did not receive him because his face was set to go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elisha did? When people don't believe us, when people don't want to receive the light, sometimes we're offended by that. God has something to share with. Listen to what he said. But Jesus turned to James and John, and he rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. Now listen to this, folks, because this is why we got to let our light shine. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. May I say that again? The Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to destroy people's lives. He came to save their life. We're sharing a light that gives to them not only hope for today, but it gives them hope for eternity. And we all need to realize that's probably what we should be doing, is sharing that message. Instead, they just went to another village, and there he stayed. Jesus rebuked those disciples, and those disciples needed to know they needed to be rebuked. I love what he said sometime later in the book of Luke. Then he said to his disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. Anyone who rejects your message is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God. See what he's saying? It's not that we're rejecting you. You let your light shine. What you're doing is rejecting Jesus. And rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting God the Father as well. I think that's so important that you and I would realize that he wants us to let our light shine. Matter of fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 25, he tells us he's praying for us. Now listen to this. At that time, Jesus answered, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to these babes. God may even call you a little babe by believing in him. Even so, Father, for it seemed good to you in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one of whom the Son will reveal himself. So then this Jesus gives light for you and I to bear. And this light shines upon the ones that need the light. But when you're rejected, when that's refused in your life, dear people, I got to tell you, that's when Jesus gives this message. Because it's right after this that Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God's saying you need to understand that they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Please, he's saying, let your light shine. It's just like when they was going into that city of Samaria. When the Samaritans refused to let Jesus stay there. Do you remember what it said? So he went to another village. Some may reject the light that you and I share about Jesus. But then we got some others to go to. Some will respond. And that's what we need to realize is God's getting us to the point where we respond, where we'll share the light amongst them all, so that those that do want to respond can respond. And the Father will reveal the Son to them. So it's not what happens because of what you and I shine in our light. It's how God uses the light of your life to help somebody else. That's the way God works. He says to you and he says to me, I want you to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. But I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that light that is a help to you as an individual needs to be a help to others. The last part of the message I want to share with you, and then we'll have the song of conclusion. But you know, folks, it takes energy to share the light, to keep on doing the things that you've been doing, to realize it isn't you, it's God working through you, and I understand that. But you know, sometimes when I study the Bible, I like to think of many different translations. On my computer, I have about 6-7 translations that I can go to at any time. And sometimes I want to take those translations and maybe take something from this translation and maybe something from this translation and kind of put it together. For our closing time, that's what I've done for this morning. And the idea of what I want to share with you, I'm going to use something that you've all seen and you've all heard. And that's that energy bunny that keeps on going and going and going. Because I want you to keep on going and going and going. That little energy bunny, you can just about see him beating his drum now as I mentioned that. So let's listen to these verses, where God is challenging us to have energy that comes from him. Listen to it now. You know times in which you're living. It's time for you to wake up. Our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. Now listen to this. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and quarreling and jealousy. Get out of bed. Get dressed. Don't loiter. Don't linger. Waiting until the very last minute, dress yourself up in Christ and be up and about. That's what he's wanting us to do. So God is saying, you know what? I want you to be like the energy bunny. I want you to keep on going, keep on doing the things you should be doing. I'd like to a couple words in there for just as we close our time together. One of the words I like, he said, the night is far spent. It's going to be the dawning of a new day. You know, there may be tears for the evening, God tells us. There may be tears for the darkness. But he said, joy cometh in the morning. And we need to know that. The second thing I like is the word armor. Armor is the protective gear of a soldier. And God is saying, put on the protective gear of light on your life and let your life shine. And then as that old energy bunny would do, he's saying to you as he's saying to me, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. And that's what God is saying to us today. Keep on letting your light shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Rise and shine. That's what God wants us to do. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
Rise up and shine.
You better rise up and shine.